The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. And number one, I'm going to apologize for what happened yesterday, but it wasn't entirely my fault. AT&T had a little bit of blame to go around there. So today I'm back in the studio with Dr. Herb Slavin. And good morning, Dr. Slavin.
We're bypassing AT&T today.
Yes, we are. And we're Skyping. And so to all of our listeners, thank you very much for tuning in. And for the next hour, we're going to bring you a range of different health supporting information, information that you might have a slight awareness of, but you might not necessarily know why you need to be concerned. And we're going to give you some of the details so that you'll make informed decisions when choosing not only your supplements, but your dietary choices as well. Dr. Slavin, what do you have in mind?
Well, Janet, haven't you said in the past,
I don't know.
Well, maybe it wasn't. Well, maybe it wasn't you. But we should keep politics out of the conversation. People don't like when you inject your politics.
Okay. Here we go, Dr. Slavin, slippery slope. We're going to have potentially different views of a political situation. And I think that people actually are interested when there's a discussion of different points of view. Let's not say an argument. Let's not say disagreement, but let's say a discussion of different points of view. I think people are interested in that. I think that I learn a lot when people outside of my mental perspective sphere create very, very insightful statements. So I would say we can have relevant political discussions. Is that what you asked?
Well, and I'm not even talking about the current presidential race. I'm talking about healthcare and politics. What you can access and who determines what you what's paid for and what's not paid for is all politics. And it becomes politics when it doesn't serve your needs. You know, you have to think about that. When it stops serving your needs, that means it's serving somebody else's needs, and it's not, and it becomes political.
When you have someone else making a decision for you, reducing or increasing your access to certain substances or information, and that's an issue because those things affect your well-being.
Here's a good example. I got a letter from AvMed. You know, what we try to do in our office, because a lot of offices that practice this type of medicine do not accept insurance.
Right.
And we try to make it as affordable as possible by accepting insurance. AvMed writes a letter to the primary care physicians. We won't reimburse you for any ancillary testing that you do in the office.
Oh, wow.
You know, like an EKG, a pulmonary function test, autonomic nervous system testing, all the things that should be done by the primary care doctor. What they're saying is you have to send them out either to a diagnostic center or a specialist Now, how does that serve the public? See, their goal is to make it more difficult to access health. And by the way, in the hope, therefore, probably avoiding doing the appropriate testing that could be helpful, as opposed to making it easier for patients to get the information and take better care of themselves. So that was an interesting thing. Then there are other insurance companies that apply everything toward the deductible. So patients basically have no insurance coverage until they hit about $11,000 a year. That's between the monthly premiums and their deductibles. That's not good either. So what's going on here with healthcare? Who's the real beneficiary? Because clearly the patients are not benefiting by the changes in the system. So when you, so I guess the insurance companies are benefiting. They still get the premiums. They just don't have to pay for the treatments because they're not being done because the patients can't afford it. But they have insurance now. They just don't have health care.
They didn't have health care ever. When you're talking about the big so-called health insurance companies, because what do they pay for? They pay for treatment. Do they pay for prevention? Not so much.
No, but they're making even, well, we would do the testing and get the, and I don't call it prevention, I call it early detection. It's a big difference. I mean, it's all about what your definition of prevention is or versus early detection. People are sick before they get sick.
It's developing, yes.
But it's not recognized by mainstream medicine because there's no money in preventing the illness. They want to let people get sick. So it serves them very well. You know, don't keep people healthy. Don't do the closer observation that keeps people out of the hospital. You know, basically, and that's what they're saying. They're coming out with doing fewer testing, don't see the patient so often. Another one, annual physical exams may do more harm than good. And then when you get sick, then you'll go and they'll make the same money without spending any in the preliminary aspect of the development of the illness.
I had a little bit of a discussion with someone yesterday. We were talking about TSH, T3, and T4. And, okay, here's people, millions of people with normal ranges of those particular mm-hmm. blood tests, and yet they have thyroid issues. And so the question put to me was, well, why would the doctors not want to have the correct testing, or why would the doctors not want to listen to the patient? I said, well, if your thyroid doesn't work, you have a higher risk of depression. So there's a whole very, very large category of drugs that wouldn't get prescribed if you supported your thyroid. If you are dealing with a very, very highly functional thyroid, you wouldn't necessarily have insomnia. It isn't 100% statement that I'm making, but for some of the patients. And there's another very, very lucrative class of drugs to treat insomnia. And let's not even go near breast cancer. If your thyroid doesn't work, if your iodine level is poor, your risk of illness is higher. And so,
You could put cholesterol in there.
Yes, you could. Oh, my goodness. A multi-billion dollar industry. And so we call this health care? Absolutely not. It isn't health care.
It's pharmaceutical care.
It's pharmaceutical care. It's political maneuvering. It's financial maneuvering. It's corporate greed.
Well, the yearly or the annual physical, the headline was, may do more harm than good. It depends what you incorporate into the annual physical.
It depends where you go for that physical.
Now, I think touching base with a physician that does the appropriate test is a good thing. But what are the appropriate tests? It's not tests looking to push you into unnecessary treatments. And that's the key. So here are some of the most unnecessary tests. And I agree with this. The DEXA scan for osteoporosis. Most people should be aware that the woman, because it's done mostly in women, you know, men and women both develop osteoporosis. The thing is with men, they start off with thicker, denser bones to begin with. So even though they lose bone density over time, since the women start off with thinner bones, they hit the osteoporosis range sooner. But the DEXA scan, first of all, compares women to a 25-year-old. So right off the bat,
is that a reasonable thing? So that's according to the requirements of the AMA and the Florida Medical Association as well. That's insanity.
What's insane is they're comparing you to a 25-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 45, 55, 65, it's a slam dunk to sell a drug. That's what it's all about, with selling drugs. The original DEXA scan machines were underwritten by Merck, with a drug company that came out with Fosamax.
Oh, that wonder drug that contributes to cancer developing in the lower jaw?
Another test on the list is annual EKGs. Here's what they say, and I'm not actually in total agreement with this. Annual EKGs or other cardiac screenings are not recommended for low-risk patients who are symptom-free. And here's the problem. Can you be sick and be symptom-free? The answer is yes. What could you have on an EKG? Well, there's such a thing as silent heart attacks. So you want to have an EKG. I would recommend on a yearly basis. Sure, it may be normal, but that's a good information to know, because a lot of times it's happened where a patient comes in, they haven't had an EKG in a long time, and all of a sudden you see an abnormality on it. The patient wasn't aware of any problems, but there's a clear-cut abnormality, and you don't know when it happened. Did it happen last week, last year, 2 years ago? I think that's important information. And how many times do you hear of people, sudden death situations? Well, maybe they might have picked up a problem on an EKG, because most sudden deaths have to do with cardiac arrhythmias. So you want to detect that. I had a patient yesterday, a perfect example. His last EKG was normal. The EKG we did yesterday showed an abnormality. It's not a common abnormality. It was a rhythm disturbance. And we immediately hooked him up to a 24-hour monitor, because sometimes these rhythm disturbances can come and go. And that's going to change how you approach it. If it disappears and stays away, fine. But if it's persistent, you have to, be aware of it.
What kind of a role might thyroid insufficiency play with those arrhythmias?
Lots of things. Thyroid, CoQ10, magnesium. I mean, the whole gamut of nutrients, but the doctors aren't testing for those things.
So when you really understand the nature of arrhythmias, it isn't necessarily a pathway to a pharmaceutical. It is an investigation into the source of the arrhythmia, possibly, as you said, just a magnesium deficiency. You're not going to find that in a serum test.
And again, it's how you approach the findings, but there's a lot more about what tests you should have or avoid, but understand the purpose of the test so you can get the most benefit out of the information derived from them.
And be able to have a nice discussion with your physician about proper testing and the results of those tests. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back after these messages. The blood test required by your doctor does not have to be an ordeal. Learn about the special treatment available for you at AMT Centers. Innovative approaches to evaluating health issues through advanced lab testing. Tests that identify imbalances and point out solutions. And personalized guidance to address out-of-range results. Call 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com, 754-216-2332, or go to amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Just before we get back to the discussion, I just want to tell Dr. Slavin and all of our listeners, the Jana Biotic and Jana Juice is at several new stores. Fabulous stuff. Discount Health Food Store and Discount Health Foods on Griffin Road in Davie. And Dr. Slavin, I think you know the owner of that store, Phil Picaro. Yeah. And so they now carry Jana Juice and Jana Biotic. And so if any of our listeners who are near Griffin Road in Davie are interested in finding out a little bit about my two products, Jana Juice, Jana Biotic, you can go into Discount Health Foods on Griffin Road in Davie. Dr. Slavin?
Well, since you're talking about events,
yes,
so to speak, last Saturday we had an event. We're very successful. People came, got their tests done. They probably, I think they'll be emailed out the results to the people today.
And
because
great.
It was so successful, they're going to repeat it again December 5th. That's the drawing event, a blood draw event. In other words, a free CBC chem panel and urinalysis at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. They're our sponsor. And Janet and I will both be there if you have any questions. And they're doing it just to introduce you to a state-of-the-art drawing center. The feedback I get from the people, because they've all been to the other ones, and they say how much nicer it is. And they really it is much nicer, and they treat you much better. You're treated as a person and not just a number waiting to be seen. So here, you're not waiting to be seen. You know, it really goes fast. So that's December 5th from 8 to 11. And if you'd like to attend, the phone number to reserve your place is 754-216-2332. That's at the Advanced Medical Testing Center, 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209. And if you don't want to write all this stuff down, just go to the website, amtcenters.com.
And I'm going to just jump in there, and there are some people out there who have a little bit of an unhappy perspective about having blood drawn, and I can tell you that the feedback about Charlotte, who was doing the blood draw, was so, so positive. People say she was just the best, that they have never had an experience that easy having their blood drawn. Very important.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she is very good. Now back to the annual exam, and people get tests that can be helpful or can be used to exploit a problem that in the wrong way. So that's all how you take it in. If you do an EKG and you see little rhythm disturbances, that shouldn't be a tip-off that you need some kind of invasive procedure. It should be a tip-off that you need to look at the nutrient status of the person, like magnesium, like CoQ10, things like that. Pap smears. The recommendation here is women younger than 21 or those who have had a hysterectomy for non-cancer disease do not need an annual pap smear. Janet, you have a position on that.
Absolutely. There are so many tests. The mammograms, the pap smears, all of those tests. Very, very interesting, because there are so many approaches that the doctors tend to use with regard to the pap smears, and it is antioxidant insufficiency. So deficient in antioxidant nutrients, deficiency in folic acid, A, E, selenium, zinc. So by so dramatically supporting the nutrient status, and sometimes it takes so high a dose of these different nutrients to overcome an abnormal pap smear, but it can be done nutritionally.
I would say, however, if you have multiple sexual partners, you're increasing your risk of being exposed to the HPV virus, which is associated with cervical cancer. So, in subgroups of people, if you have put yourself into a higher risk group, then pap test might be important to have. It's certainly not a greatly invasive test. It's not a big deal test. So I don't know, if you find that you think you're in a high risk category, you shouldn't miss it, because it's an easy thing to do, to treat if they pick up abnormalities there. Now, again, different approaches to the treatment. And if they're overdiagnosing the problem, in other words, they're giving you the treatment for the cancer when you have a precancer or atypical cells, no, that's abusing that type of test.
Okay, so one of the very, very common responses to that abnormal pap test is freezing the abnormal cells on the surface mm-hmm. of the cervix. I have clients who've gone through that procedure multiple times.
Doesn't work, huh?
Well, it isn't that it doesn't work. They're not getting to the underlying issue. And that can very well be, as you mentioned, multiple sexual partners, but also that nutrition status. When you support zinc, when you support the antioxidant nutrients, when you have very well-supported folic acid, folate levels, then your possibility of having your body create abnormal cells is greatly reduced.
Yeah. No, I've seen the pap smears go back to normal using those methods. Here's another test that's widely recommended, and here they say don't screen for carotid artery stenosis in asymptomatic patients, because screenings can lead to unnecessary surgeries that could result in harm that outweigh the benefit. Well, I partially agree with that. Yeah, you do that test, they may see a blockage that doesn't require surgery, and they recommend surgery. That's true. But if you see if you have asymptomatic thickening of the carotid artery, or the early signs of arterial stenosis in the carotid artery, it's a tip-off. Because you're not just getting it there, you may be getting it throughout the body.
And that's what I say to people all the time. Okay, so you're going to go get a stent. That's taking care of your heart. What about the rest of your body?
So if you catch it early and you say, well, the carotid artery is a little thicker than it should be, you're going to pay attention to it. You're going to hopefully look for the underlying risk factors that are involved with causing the buildup of plaque and correct it. And, if you wait to be symptomatic, then you're the candidate for surgery, because now you've allowed it to advance to the point where you've got at least a 70% blockage and you haven't caught it early. And I have my position on that. Now, here's one that comes up a lot. Again, it's sort of about pap smears. They say women under 30 should not be screened for cervical cancer with HPV testing alone or in combination with cytology, as this can lead to more invasive testing and procedures. Also, don't screen women older than 65 years of age for cervical cancer who have had adequate prior screenings and are not otherwise at high risk for cervical cancer. There's little evidence or benefit for screening after 65. I would agree with that part of it. The over 65-year-old group, again, if you've had normal pap smears through the years and you're not, again, engaging in with multiple sexual partners, then you should be pretty much okay.
Okay, here's my statement. What's the nutritional status of that woman?
No, again, that's a given for everybody. Keep your nutritional status up. And by the way, they're very common nutritional deficiencies.
Right.
And they're totally asymptomatic at the beginning.
Right.
Now, who would have thought, for example, you're saying cervical cancer is a nutritional deficiency? No, it's caused by HPV. But why did the HPV affect this woman and not that woman?
Right.
So that's the point. It's the way of strengthening your body's immune system so it can deal with all these things. Now, here's an interesting one. Avoid elective, non-medically indicated inductions of labor between the weeks of 31 and 41 unless the cervix is deemed favorable. Also, avoid elective, non-medically indicated inductions of labor or C-sections before 39 weeks.
Okay. Induction of labor sounds very benign, doesn't it? Okay, we're going to give you this IV and we're going to create labor and you'll deliver your baby. Sounds fine. Sounds really smooth. It doesn't work that way. It isn't so smooth. It's painful. It's prolonged in some
females. Well, it's not natural. You're going against nature, and you should always try not to go against nature. And when I say that, you're going against nature when you eat things that aren't food.
Okay. And don't we, as Americans, eat a whole lot of things that aren't food?
Well, they package it to make it look like food.
Yes, they do. They put it in packages that make you think it's food, and you buy it in grocery stores where typically you go to purchase food, but it isn't food.
And read the ingredients. If there are all these long names, they put other ingredients that aren't food either. It has no nutritional value. It's there for other purposes, maybe as a colorant, a preservative, something to enhance the taste or flavor.
Mouthfeel is a biggie in the food industry, and they use all manner of different chemicals to achieve that mouthfeel.
And here's one that, you can argue both sides of the coin. A pelvic exam or other physical exam is unnecessary when prescribing oral contraceptives. And so my position there is, yeah, it's unnecessary, so to speak, for the oral contraceptive part. But I'm not a big fan of oral contraceptives to begin with.
Thank goodness.
If you're going to prescribe it, but it's your chance, at least you're getting to see a patient. You might pick up other problems that they wouldn't normally have gone to a physician. So now they're there for the birth control pills. You might pick up something else. So in that context, you should just... do that exam.
Okay.
And the rest of the exam, not just that,
Okay. Well, I would probably ask you, Dr. Slavin, I will ask you, Dr. Mm-hmm. Slavin, if you are interested in discussing why you are not a fan of oral contraceptives. And, we're getting really close to a break. And so...
I'll say it quickly. I think it increases the risk of breast cancer. They're artificial hormones. They're messing up the body's natural function. And I think probably this country uses them more than any other country because it's available. And we have a relatively high incidence of breast cancer. So that's why I think if you can look for alternatives to that. And by the way, they're not just used for pregnancy prevention. They're used for acne. No, this is not the approach that should be used for acne.
Migraine headaches. Oh, my goodness.
Those are hormonal imbalances that can be controlled by just restoring the normal balance using bioidentical progesterone.
And that music means it's time for us to take a break on Natural Doc Radio. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And just with regard to some of the hormone prescriptions that are used here in the United States, you said something interesting, Dr. Slavin, that you think that we probably use them more than any other country in the world. And so in addition to using birth control pills for acne, I've heard of them being prescribed for migraine headaches. They are prescribing them for very, very young women, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old, for painful periods and very, very heavy periods or irregular periods. There's just so many different times when they use that birth control pharmaceutical as the go-to overall problem solver. And so in addition to hormonally over-medicating females in this country, you have a perspective also about the quality of our water because of prescriptions for menopause, birth control pills.
Well, that's true. We use urine collections to look for hormones, for example, and after that it goes into the sewage system, and the water treatment plants don't do treatments to remove those unless you have a reverse osmosis treatment. If you're just putting fluoride into it to, chlorine into it to kill bacteria, not doing anything to the hormones. So they say there's a lot of hormones in the water. Another reason to drink purified water.
Hormones and pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, a lot of things. Antidepressants, another biggie.
No wonder I feel
in
so
fact, good. In fact, I think there was one town that wanted to put antidepressants in the water. It's automatically, like they do fluoride, thinking to make all the people happier.
So I'm speechless.
But here's another test, and this is very controversial. Should you get a PSA test, a prostate-specific antigen, it's used to identify men that might have prostate cancer.
Do they use the PSA test as an excuse? And I will say it again, excuse to do a biopsy?
Absolutely. Here's what it is. The U.S. spends $10 billion each year treating prostate cancer, but studies suggest the 30 million men who get screened annually for prostate cancer are actually put at risk due to the ridiculously high numbers of false positives. That means you get a biopsy and they tell you have prostate cancer, you really don't. But there's a lot of men who have prostate cancer that it will never make a difference in their life, and yet now they're going for treatment. It could be surgery, radiation, and hormonal therapies.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, for those gentlemen who have had possibly an abnormal PSA test, vitamin D. Check your vitamin D levels. Get them in an optimized range over 80. Check your zinc levels. Check your zinc copper ratio. And the other part that's very important, and I have not ever seen any blood test from a gentleman coming to see me, of estrogen levels in those men who are being treated or there is a suspicion of prostate cancer.
Well, here's a suggestion. Young men, and by that, you know, maybe we can start in their 20s, have your hormones checked, including estrogen levels, so you know where they should be when you're young and in your optimal health, presumably. Because what we've seen is as men get older, their estrogen levels go up, and that coincides with the growth of the prostate. So nobody's addressing that factor in men. In fact, a urologist, I asked him, do you check estrogen levels in your patient, your male patients? He said, what for?
Wow.
And you know, and I think that seems to be the direct correlation. And to justify that statement, embryologically speaking, breast tissue and prostate tissue are the same. So they're hormonally active tissues, and they're responsive to estrogen levels. So just something to think about. Now, here's another statement. More than half of older men have pathologic evidence of prostate cancer. I would say that, you know, probably at the by the time you're at the end of your life, you probably have prostate cancer. It's that prevalent. And the same thing is true for women with breast cancer. They have it. They don't know they have it. You know, there could be tiny cells. If you started sticking needles in women's breasts like they do in men's prostates, they probably pick up some prostate cancer. Or maybe the needle deforms the appearance of the cell, making the pathologist think maybe that's abnormal, maybe it needs to be treated. So according to Stanford University researchers, the PSA test indicates nothing more than the size of your prostate gland. And according to Dr. Gilbert Welch, professor at Dartmouth Medical School, and this is a good one, in quotes, prostate cancer screening is the poster child for overdiagnosis, and I'm going to add something to that, and overtreatment.
Overtreatment, for sure.
A great deal of harm results from unnecessary prostate treatments after false positive PSA tests. But even if it's not a false positive, men are being treated when it really won't make a difference in their lives. And I'll tell you about a study in a minute. Estimates are that 15 prostates must be removed in order to prevent just one prostate cancer death.
Ooh.
And these surgical procedures carry serious side effects, including impotence and incontinence. And you get that not just from surgery, you get that from radiation too. There are presently no good comparative studies to indicate which treatments produce the best outcomes. And I've said that before, when you have several approaches to a disease, that means we don't have one good one that works.
I don't know. Are they still using Lupron very, very freely as a treatment for prostate cancer? What Lupron does is suppress testosterone, which is just the opposite of creating healthy prostate tissue.
So, and just like in women who want to avoid breast cancer, for men, make sure your vitamin D levels are optimal. And I don't. And they mentioned 40 to 60 points. I think you get it up to 80 would be even better.
If people have 80 on their blood tests, very often their physicians tell them to cut back on their vitamin D supplementation. So to our listeners out there, 80 is optimized, not just sufficient. It's optimized. And wouldn't you want to optimize a nutrient that has so much benefit across the board for your health?
Absolutely. So that study I was going to say, they did a study, it was published in Lancet many years ago. They had 300 men, average age of 72, all with prostate cancer. 75 of them went for surgery, removal of the prostate gland, because that's the gold standard. You get the best results or outcomes when you do that procedure as far as curing the disease.
Curing prostate cancer diagnosis.
And the other 225 men did watchful waiting. They didn't have any procedures. They just observed them over the next 15 years. And when they tallied up the score after 15 years, the same number of men died in both groups. The surgery didn't save lives, and the non-treatment people died just as frequently or infrequently from prostate cancer, about 15% or so. That was the number. And my interpretation, my takeaway is, if you have the kind of prostate cancer that's going to kill you, the treatments don't save you. And if you have the kind that's not going to kill you, you don't need the treatment. So isn't that a dilemma?
So such a very, very important aspect of this whole discussion is hormone balance, and our food supply is contaminated with a very great number of things that contribute to imbalanced hormones. Our food supply is such that it leads to a great number of nutrient deficiencies, particularly vitamin D. When in ancient times, when I started in this business, there was 400 IUs in a one-a-day multivitamin that you would find in a health food store. Then there was a very, very significant medical brouhaha that said we were getting too much vitamin D and it needed to be reduced because we were creating this over a supply of vitamin D in people. And so it was reduced to 400 IUs, and the whole change happened with regard to vitamin A along at the same time. Instead of 25,000 IUs of vitamin A, it was reduced to 5,000 IUs of A, 400 IUs of vitamin D. What have we got in these 25 years since these changes were introduced? Ever rising numbers of cancer diagnoses across the board, colon cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer. It is very, very much, in my view, attributable to an imbalance in the immune system that has your immune system that's lost the support of vitamin A and vitamin D.
So we spoke about men and prostate cancer. I think it's equally important to speak about women and breast cancer. And if you look at the statistics, they are very closely aligned. The same number of men who get prostate cancer equal to the same amount of women that get breast cancer. But here's an interesting information you need to know. About 39 million American women get mammograms each year. Over their lifetime, 1 in 8 women will receive a breast cancer diagnosis. But here's the interesting point. Of those 1 in 8 women getting the breast cancer diagnosis, half of them will have at least one false positive within a decade.
The stress that goes along with that false positive is very, very high.
And it goes on to say is working up false positives means many women die unnecessarily. Imagine getting treated for a disease you don't have. It happens. Treatments such as chemotherapy and surgery are risky. Many do not die from the cancer itself, but from the treatment. And if a woman doesn't actually have malignant cancer to begin with, dying from the toxic treatment is doubly tragic. So you have women without cancer dying from the treatment, as well as women with cancer dying from the treatment. We'll talk a little bit more about this after the break.
You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking. Once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And Dr. Slavin, okay, we have lots of information to share.
We were talking about breast cancer and how false positives. That means you don't have breast cancer, but they tell you you do. And then you go through all the treatments. And women are dying from the treatments. And that happens probably more often than you would even know about. Because on the death certificate, when you die from breast cancer. They don't say you died from the side effects of the chemotherapy.
Right.
We had a patient here who I
see. Cachexia is a very, very big issue with a lot of chemotherapeutic treatments.
We had a patient who was treated for melanoma. And I said, don't go for that experimental treatment because it's experimental.
Right.
But he did and he died. He didn't die from the melanoma because they got it all, at least surgically. And this was within probably a year of the treatment. So it was probably too soon if it would have come back anyway. So he clearly died from the treatment, but I'm sure on the death certificate, melanoma might have been mentioned. He died of the side effects of the chemotherapy. So what about mammograms? Most studies show that the rate at which mammography actually saves lives is extremely low, and routine screenings have harmful consequences. Not only are you exposed to ionizing radiation, that in itself increases your risk of developing breast cancer in the future, but when you get a false positive, you are typically steered toward a series of unnecessary medical interventions that may result in physical and psychological suffering, financial strain, and even cancer. You know, one of the things that women with breast cancer seem to all have in common is stress, a stressful event shortly before the diagnosis. So it's mentioned here, the evidence is clear. Nearly all women should avoid mammograms as they cause more harm than good. Now, there's a distinction, an important one that needs to be made. Mammograms are looking for people to make money on because they're not identifying women at risk of developing breast cancer. They're finding women with breast cancer, and now we're going to do surgery and we're going to save their lives. Unfortunately, that's not what they find. Their false positives result in the loss of a breast or even death in rare cases. A cancer diagnosis may also interfere with your eligibility for medical insurance. I'm not sure if that's true anymore. Still? I thought they're not supposed to do that.
They're not supposed to do that. Pre-existing conditions, and you get shunted around. It's an issue.
A growing number of studies, and we've talked about these before, now refute the validity of mammography as a primary tool against breast cancer. One of the most recent, which was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Internal Medicine, this past July, confirmed previous findings showing mammography screenings lead to unnecessary treatments while having virtually no impact on the number of deaths from breast cancer. Previous research has shown that for every life saved by mammography screening, three women will be overdiagnosed and treated with surgery, radiation, or chemotherapy for a cancer that might never have given them trouble in their lifetime. Another recent study published in the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine declares its conclusion, right in the title, which reads, "Mammography screening is harmful and should be abandoned." In short, decades of routine breast cancer screening using mammograms has done nothing to decrease deaths from breast cancer while causing more than half, 52%, of all women undergoing the test to be overdiagnosed and overtreated. According to the lead author, had mammograms been a drug, it would have been withdrawn from the market long ago. So what should a woman do? I still recommend thermography because people still die from breast cancer, but you want to prevent it. Mammograms do not prevent breast cancer. Thermography identifies women at increased risk, and then you can take the appropriate steps to prevent it. One is balance your hormones, improve your nutrition. We mentioned vitamin D, thyroid levels. There are a lot of other nutrients that play a role, including iodine, diindolylmethane, all help with the normal metabolism of hormones. That's what thermography does. But let's say you're still in the mindset of getting mammograms every year. If you get an abnormal mammogram, stop with the mammograms because that's what they do. Let's get a different view of the mammogram. Let's, you know, do a bunch of more mammograms. Stop. Get an MRI with and without contrast. No radiation, no compression. And in most cases, it'll obviate the need for an invasive test like a needle biopsy because 80% of those turn out to be benign anyway. Stay with the non-invasive tests first.
Oh, my goodness. So much with regard to nutrients and how many people test their iodine levels. How many women know what their hormone levels are?
And one other big factor, I think, is plastics. And they call these xenoestrogens. You know, these are all things that stimulate the breast. So you got to think about that. Avoid plastics. In my office yesterday, as a matter of fact, I mentioned to one of the staff they were taking out their sandwich from a Ziploc bag. And I said, you know, you should wrap it first in wax paper and then put it into the Ziploc bag. And don't use but aluminum foil because that's not good either. Use wax paper. And then you can put it away.
Oh, you can use wax paper and then the aluminum foil, wax paper and then the plastic,
yeah.
Whatever works to make a very nice seal to keep your food fresh.
And don't put your food in plastic container and then into the microwave. You want to avoid that too.
So.
Or you drink it to warm up and it's in a styrofoam glass. No, you don't do that.
And what do you say about microwaves, Dr. Slavin?
I say to avoid them.
Yeah, far away.
In fact, I was,
like not in your house.
Yeah, I have one in my house which we don't use, and I was thinking, can we find some kind of oven around the same size, you know, to fit in the place of the microwave?
At least absolutely,
something and you could use.
I think that's going to be a very, very much the kitchen of the future. That we're more and more and more going to get away from microwaves and get into the convection oven.
But I bet you the restaurants use microwaves a lot.
I would say, yeah. I'm going to say a lot of the really good restaurants where you like the consistency of the food, they're not going to use microwaves because it can be a little bit out of control and change the texture of the food.
Oh, and I just remember we had a listener that sent Janet an email suggesting we should bring on some people to talk about health insurance.
Right.
And, you know, it's not
very important to let our listeners know about this.
It's not that I haven't tried, but each time when I talk to different people, they say the companies don't let them go out on the radio and talk about health insurance. Apparently, this information is not for public knowledge. They want to trap you one-on-one into what you should buy. They don't want the information out.
The gentleman we had on the show with us talking about blood sugar anomalies in teenagers, Neil Eichelbaum, he has a connection with insurance company.
Right.
And in discussing what were appropriate questions to discuss on the show, he would have been prevented about speaking health insurance.
Is that something that you can't, you know, get people that are actually experts? They know all the ins and outs of getting health insurance, not just for Medicare, but, you know, in today's marketplace, very confusing to say the least.
So if there are any health insurance experts out there, representatives of health insurance companies, please contact us. What is that number?
I got an idea. If there are any former health insurance salespeople, they can probably talk about it. You know, it's the current ones that can't. I would think, unless they sign something that says even after they leave, they can't talk about it. That'd be interesting to know.
if they,
wouldn't ever be able to tell us on the radio, but they could tell us in a private room and we could relate. Unidentified person has said.
Yeah, if there is a number you can call and just leave a message and let us know. It's 954-338-7313. There won't be a live person. Just say leave a message and we get it automatically. And we can address it. So we'd love to pass information out because I tell you, I see patients all the time that get tricked into buying the wrong health insurance where they're being told, you've got all the coverage just like this other insurance, but they really don't. A lot of restrictions, and they don't know that's happening to them, and they can't wait. And here's the other thing that's a problem. How come you buy a product and you got to wait a whole year before you can get out of it? You know, you can't just change coverages in the middle of the year.
Dr. Slavin, we are out of time. I just want to let everyone know that they can call 754-216-2332 if they're interested in making an appointment for the December 5th event at AMT Centers. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, 10 o'clock, WNN. See you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.